In this lecture, we will look at the way in which we charge self-employed individuals to tax on the profits that they earn. But first of all, it is vital that we get the terminology correct. When a self-employed individual starts the trade, he will be required to prepare a set of accounts which shows profits or losses made during a particular period. This period is usually referred to as the period of account. This is the period for which the individual actually makes up a set of accounts, which may also be referred to as the accounting period. Once a trader has chosen his accounting date, he will normally make up accounts annually, and that date is usually known as his year end. So for instance, if we are told that a trader has a year end of the 31st of December, it means that he makes up accounts for the year ended 31st of December each year. However, the tax year runs from the 6th of April until the next 5th of April each year. But traders are allowed to make up accounts for whatever period they want to. They do not have to use the tax year as their accounting period. We have to ensure that for every tax year in which a trader is actually trading, tax is paid on his profits. The period that we charge his profits for is known as the basis period. The basis period is determined by the current year basis, or CYB, rules. Let us take a look at the current year basis, or CYB. For income tax purposes, a trader is allowed to make up accounts to whichever date he chooses, but we must tax those profits in relation to a tax year. We therefore tax the profits of the 12-month accounting period, which ends in the tax year. Let me give you an example. Assume a trader who has a 31st of December year end makes up accounts for the year ended 31st of December 2010. The accounting period ends between the 6th of April 2010 and the 5th of April 2011. Therefore, the profits in those accounts, after adjustments are made for tax purposes, will be taxed in the tax year 2010-11. Putting it another way, the basis period for 2010-11 is the year ended 31st of December 2010 for a trader with a 31st of December year end. On your screen, you will see three separate tax years: 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011-12. And underneath, you are given three separate periods of account. What I would like you to do is to drag the period of account onto the correct tax year. The system will tell you whether you've got this right or wrong. Once you've completed this exercise, please select Continue.
I would now like to move on to the rules for commencement of trade. Special rules apply when someone starts to trade for the very first time. Firstly then, when does a trade actually commence? Trading commences when the main activity starts. Let me illustrate this with an example. Let us say that we have someone who is thinking of starting up a trade. He hires some staff, acquires some premises, sets up supplier and customer contracts, and once this has all been done, the actual manufacturing activity commences. The commencement date for tax purposes of this trade is the date that the actual activity began, i.e., the date that the manufacturing started. This rule was given in the case of the Birmingham District Cattle Byproduct Company. Consequently, in determining when somebody starts trading, we must look for the main activity. A good example, perhaps, would be a shop. A shopkeeper will start to trade on the day he first opens his doors to the public. Or an accountant may start to trade when he is first available to accept work. The actual commencement date will depend very much on the facts in each individual case. As I mentioned earlier, the basic principle is that we tax profits in every year someone is trading. Let us first of all take a look at the first year. This is the first tax year in which somebody is trading. The basis period, i.e. the period which we recognize for tax purposes, is very straightforward.
We simply tax profits from the date the trade started to the following 5th of April. Let me illustrate this. Assume the trade started on the 1st of January 2011. We then move forward to the next 5th of April, which is the 5th of April 2011. Profits for this period will be taxed in 2010-11.
Using this very same principle, what I would like you to do is to look at the commencement date for the trades listed on the screen and determine the basis period and first tax year in each case.
Insert your dates as day-day, month-month, year-year, in respect of the from and to, and for your tax years, insert the dates by using four digits, then two digits. In other words, the tax year 2010-11, you would choose 201
0/11. Once you have completed your answer, please select Continue and I will then go through it with you. The first date appearing was the 1st of August 2009. We then move forward to the following 5th of April, which is 5th of April 2010. So the basis period for the tax year 2009-2010 is from the commencement of trade, the 1st of August 2009 to the 5th of April 2010 being the end of the tax year. The next date shown on the screen was the 1st of March 2011. We move forward to the 5th of April next following, which is the 5th of April 2011. The first tax year is therefore 2010-11. Finally, the last date that was shown was the 1st of September 2011. Moving forward, the next 5th of April is the 5th of April 2012. The first tax year is 2011-12.
If you have not understood these rules straight away, please select pause at this point or replay Section 5 once more to confirm your understanding. Let us now look at the second tax year. This is the more complicated year, and we must look at the rules very carefully. The first question we must ask is whether there is an accounting period ending in the second tax year, i.e., has the trader drawn up a set of accounts which ends between the 6th of April and the 5th of April in the second tax year of trading? The answer to that question can be yes or no. If the answer is yes, we then need to ask ourselves, how long is that accounting period? If the accounting period is equal to or greater than 12 months, we tax the profits for the 12 months leading up to that accounting date. If the accounting period is less than 12 months long, we simply take the first 12 months of trading. If there is not an accounting period ending in the second tax year of trading, which is perfectly feasible, then the basis period for the second tax year is actually that tax year. The basis period will be from the 6th of April to the 5th of April of the second tax year of trading. The principle under current year basis rules is that if a trader is trading throughout the whole of a tax year, we must tax exactly 12 months worth of profit, no more and no less. Consequently, taking the first line of our flowchart, if the first set of accounts is more than 12 months long by taxing the accounting period, we are taking a period which is too long. So therefore, we take the last 12 months leading up to the end of that accounting period. On the converse, if the first set of accounts is for less than 12 months, it is too short. We will not be taxing enough months' worth of profit. Consequently, by taking the first 12 months of trading, we add sufficient profit from the next accounting period to top up the second year's assessment to exactly 12 months. When we take the tax year to be the basis period that is exactly 12 months long, and all we have to do is time apportion the profit shown in the trader's accounts into the tax year. More on that shortly. What I would like you to do now is review that flowchart very carefully, checking that you understand how it works, as what we will be doing next is applying each of those rules into worked examples. Select Continue when you are ready to proceed.
Let us take a look at our first illustration. Jimmy starts trading as an accountant on the 1st of October 2010 and makes up accounts as follows. For the 15 months to the 31st of December 2011, he shows a tax-adjusted profit of £30,000. And for the year ended 31st of December 2012, he shows a tax-adjusted profit of £40,000. Jimmy has chosen the 31st of December to be his usual year end. Looking at the first accounting period, which is 15 months long, that starts on the 1st of October 2010 and ends on the 31st of December 2011. Profits are £30,000. We need to determine how that profit will be subject to tax in the first two tax years of trading. First, let us look at year one. Jimmy started trading on the 1st of October 2010. So, under the first year rule, we move forward to the following 5th of April, which is the 5th of April 2011. So his first tax year of trading is 2010-11. Plotting this on our diagram, we can see that we are going to be taking the first 6 months out of the 15 months ended 31st of December 2011. Consequently, Jimmy will be charged a tax on 6/15 of £30,000, which is £12,000. That figure will be entered onto his income tax computation for the tax year 2010-11. The second tax year of trading is 2011-12. Using the flowchart, we first ask, is there an accounting period ending between the 6th of April 2011 and the 5th of April 2012? The answer to that question is yes. It is the 15 months ended 31st of December 2011 that ends in the second tax year of trading. This period is 15 months long. Now this is too long. Consequently, the basis period is the last 12 months leading up to that accounting date. This runs from the 1st of January 2011 to the 31st of December 2011. Therefore, we take the last 12 months of the 15 months worth of profit. Chargeable profits for tax year 2011-12 are therefore 12/15 of £30,000, which is £24,000. Let us now look at a second illustration using the next part of the flowchart. Mandy starts trading as a florist on the 1st of December 2008. She makes up accounts for the 6 months ended 31st of May 2009, showing profits of £12,000. Her second set of accounts is for the year ended 31st of May 2010, showing profits of £18,000. So again, plotting our timeline in respect of the first two accounting periods, we have the period from the 1st of December 2008 to the 31st of May 2009 showing a profit of £12,000, and the period for the year ended 31st of May 2010 showing a profit of £18,000. We will now build up the tax assessments for the first 2 years. Starting with year one, Mandy started trading on the 1st of December 2008. We therefore go through to the following 5th of April 2009, which is the tax year 2008-09. We can see we will be taking 4 months out of the 6 months of profit for the period 1st of December 2008 and the 31st of May 2009. Mandy will be charged a tax on 4/6 of the £12,000 profit earned in that period, which is £8,000. This £8,000 will be entered onto her income tax computation for tax year 2008-09. Let us now take a look at the second year, which is the tax year 2009-10. First we ask, is there an accounting period which ends between the 6th of April 2009 and the 5th of April 2010? See if you can work that out and tick the box which has appeared on your screen. Once you have done so, you may check your answer and then select continue. The answer to the question is yes. The first set of accounts ends on the 31st of May 2009, which is in the tax year 2009-10. How long is that accounting period? Insert the number in the box and then select continue when you are ready. The first accounting period starts on the 1st of December 2008 and runs through to the 31st of May 2009. It is therefore 6 months long. This is too short. We must, of course, make sure we tax 12 months worth of profit as Mandy is trading throughout the whole of 2009-10. Using the flowchart, her basis period is the first 12 months of trading. This is from the 1st of December 2008 to the 30th of November 2009. Showing this on our diagram, we take the first 6 months worth of profit up to the end of May 2009 and then part of the profit for her year ended 31st of May 2010, i.e. the 6 months from the 1st of June 2009 to the 30th of November 2009. Consequently, Mandy's assessment for 2009-10 is going to be £12,000 up to the end of May 2009 and 6/12 of the £18,000 up to the end of November. This gives a taxable profit in 2009-10 of £21,000. Let us now look at a third illustration. Rachel commences trading as a PR consultant on the 1st of March 2009 and makes up accounts as follows. For the 16 months ended 30th of June 2010, she shows a profit of £32,000. For the year ended 30th of June 2011, she shows a profit of £38,000. Let us now build up the tax assessments for the first two tax years. First of all, taking year one. She commences trading on the 1st of March 2009, so the basis period will run through to the 5th of April 2009. Her first tax year is 2008-09. We take 1 month of profit from the 1st of March 2009 to the 5th of April 2009. This is 1/16th of the £32,000 earned in that period, which is £2,000. £2,000 is therefore taxable in 2008-09. The second tax year is 2009-10. First, we identify whether there is an accounting period ending between the 6th of April 2009 and the 5th of April 2010. What is the answer? In this example, there is not an accounting period ending in the second tax year. The first accounting period does not end until the 30th of June 2010, which is after the end of the second tax year, i.e. after the 5th of April 2010. In this scenario, the basis period for year 2 is the tax year itself, i.e. the basis period is the 6th of April 2009 to the 5th of April 2010. We therefore take 12 months between the 6th of April 2009 and the 5th of April 2010. That is 12/16ths of the profit earned during the 16 months ended 30th of June 2010, which is £24,000. Therefore, in Rachel's income tax computation for 2009-10, she will show taxable trading profits of £24,000.
Let us now take a look at the rules for the third year of trading. By the third year of trading, the assessments will be based on the normal CYB rules, i.e., we tax the profits of the 12-month accounting period ending in the tax year, unless the second year's basis period is the second tax year, i.e., the first set of accounts do not end until tax year number 3, as shown in illustration 3 in section 9 of this lecture. In this case, we take year 3's basis period to be 12 months to the accounting date. If the accounting period does not end in tax year number 2, it must end in tax year number 3, because for tax purposes, a set of accounts cannot be made up for a period exceeding 18 months.
Let us now look at the third year in respect of illustrations 2 and 3 we looked at earlier. In illustration 2, we have Mandy, who started trading on the 1st of December 2008, making up accounts to the end of May each year. In illustration 2, we built up her assessments as follows. The first year, i.e. 2008-09, was the actual basis, i.e. from the start of trading to the 5th of April 2009. The second tax year of trading was 2009-10. As the set of accounts ending in that year was less than 12 months long, we take the first 12 months of trading. The first accounting period does in fact end in the second tax year of trading, so therefore year 3 is normal current year basis. For a trader with a May year end, normal CYB in 2010-11 will be the year ended 31st of May 2010. The profits we will show on her income tax return for the 2010-11 are therefore £18,000. As we can see, we are taxing 12 months worth of profit in respect to the year ended 31st of May 2010.
In illustration 5, we will actually look at the third year in respect of Rachel, whose basis periods we built up in illustration 3 earlier on in this lecture. Rachel made up accounts to the end of June each year, and for the first 16 months made a tax-adjusted profit of £32,000, and for the next 12 months made a profit of £38,000.
The first tax year was 2008-09, and we tax the first 1 month's worth of profit from the 1st of March 2009 to the 5th of April 2009. Rachel's first accounting period does not end in the second tax year, which is tax year 2009-10, as her first set of accounts are made up to the 30th of June 2010. Consequently, her basis period for the second tax year of trading is the actual tax year, from the 6th of April 2009 to the 5th of April 2010. As her first accounting period does not end until 2010-11, which is the third tax year of trading, her taxable profits for 2010-11 will be based on the 12 months' worth of profit ending on the 30th of June 2010. The 2010-11 basis period is therefore the 1st of July 2009 to the 30th of June 2010. So we tax 12 of the 16 months of that period. Taxable profits for 2010-11 will therefore be £32,000 multiplied by 12 over 16, which is £24,000. By the fourth tax year, which is 2011-12, she will have moved on to the normal current year basis. Therefore, in the tax year 2011-12, she will be taxed on profits of the year ended 30th of June 2011, i.e. £38,000. That concludes this lecture on the current year basis and opening year rules.